Come on, Norster Kenius.
That was like sexy tire.
Wow, that was definitely geeked out.
My lord! American Marketer! Mortar charcoal, that bastard!
Beast!
Boom, wink.
The Finnish Conspiracy.
Some guy was going on and on about Corsi this, Corsi that.
Of course he was.
Yeah.
Coffee does make you poop, so.
Brodziak, Brodziak, Brodziak.
Do not vomit me, Kenny! Do not vomit me!
It's a love affair.
Welcome to episode 90 of Three in the Box, your Underground Wild podcast. This episode is being recorded Sunday, January 24th, 2016. This is Aaron, and in this episode we talk about shutouts, flameouts, blackouts. In the studio with me is Kenny.
What up?
And Jive.
Good evening.
So, it's now almost All-Star break here.
Couple of days.
A few more days, right?
One more game for the Wild.
One more game for the Wild. You know, how are you guys going to be celebrating the All-Star game?
What is that? Sunday? I'll be working.
Okay.
Sounds exciting!
Yeah.
So you're not going to be taking time out of your day to watch the All-Star game?
I might try streaming it to my tablet. I'll be sitting there mixing with a lot of headphones on, not paying attention to what's going on.
A lot of headphones on. How many headphones can you wear at one time?
I think I can get away with two sets.
Really? And you can understand and hear everything that's coming through that?
Maybe.
Maybe. Or are you just pretending?
Stereo.
Pretending. That's kind of what you do.
Kinda.
Yep.
I pretend I know what we're talking about on here. Right.
So, stereo, you say. Now, stereo. Now, if there was four speakers, doesn't that make it more surround sound?
That's like quadraphonic, man.
Quadraphonic.
Like the wall, man.
No. Well, now you guys are sounding like hydroponic. Like, I feel like, you know, there should be a big cloud of smoke in here or something. We're pregaming with some Inagata DeVita today.
Yeah, all 17 minutes.
I think we just dated ourselves here. We've now alienated anyone under the age of 30, I think.
Oh, no.
Inagata DeVita?
It's timeless, man.
Okay.
Well, no, it's 17 minutes.
There is a limit to it. Anyway, enough of Iron Butterfly. Let's get into the Wild week here.
So, last three games, Wild end up going one win, two losses. Tough loss to Anaheim, a shutout against the Kings, and a very topsy-turvy San Jose Sharks game. The Wild did finally get a power play goal, actually two. One against the Kings and one against San Jose.
And well, even though there was, you know, three games set, Wild only win one.
That was actually the second half of a back-to-back.
But they were basically in it all three games.
I think, into the third. Absolutely.
Definitely. Into the third. So for them to come away with two losses and no points on those two losses,
right,
it's a bit of a bummer.
Well, that San Jose one, there was, a minute and 24 left when San Jose got the game-winning goal.
Right.
I mean, that's disappointing.
And the Wild were tied up going, 15 minutes left in the third in Anaheim,
yep.
And so they were still in the game, but nothing comes of it, you know.
So in those games, though, Halla ended up getting two assists and the shorty between the three games.
Great series.
So point in every great game series for Halla. He looked phenomenal. He looked physical, actually, and speedy.
Coyle also looked really, really well in these three games here.
Yeah, I think he kind of was coming around, I think, playing on a little bit more physical line with him, Nino, and Koivu. I think all three of those guys were playing pretty rock solid together.
Right.
So right now with the shutout by Kemper against the Kings, the Wild now lead the league with seven shutouts amongst teams, which is pretty crazy.
That's pretty damn solid.
Yeah.
That's what I'd say.
It shows you how bad their scoring has been when they lead the league in shutouts and yet they're so far behind.
Yeah.
Another disappointing thing that happened this week, though, is the Wild got passed by Colorado and are now the second wild card.
On a technicality.
Colorado has played two more games.
And they only have one more point, so.
Two.
Oh, they have two more points?
Yeah, 50 to 48.
Okay.
Which is a little disappointing. But Halla, is he finally clawing his way out of the doghouse? Would you officially say he's out of Yo's doghouse, or is he just on a streak right now?
Well, if he is still in Yo's doghouse, I mean, there's bigger issues between those two. Because, I mean, like you said, I mean, Hala's had a solid week this week. I don't know. His Hala speed, I think, is definitely something that the Wild need to have on their team, and something that's very valuable to the team. And also, as far as playing on the penalty kill, shorthanded, I mean, he is definitely, he's valuable there. There's,
right.
I don't know who else you would want to be playing on your penalty kill at this point.
Which is crazy, because it wasn't always that way with him.
Yeah.
It's just, well, I mean, initially, they didn't really have a spot for him. Like, well, I'll toss him on the PK, you know, and he's done well on the PK. You'd like to see him, you know, how bad our power play has been. Well, even though we now have two power play goals in two games or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
It would be nice to be able to see, you know, Yo shake up that power play a little bit. Because, you know, if Hall is going to be doing some good stuff and making chances, why do we need Pominville out there, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, because he's basically, on the PK, he's playing wing to Koivu.
Right.
Which is nice having two centers down there on a PK, because one gets kicked out of the circle, you got another solid center right
especially
there.
Especially with Koivu, who always seems to get kicked out, so.
There must be a lot of, like, Swedish linesmen
out there.
Or
he gives him a dirty look or something, that dirty finish look or something.
he gives him
slow your roll there.
He gives him the stoic finish look, so then what's Hala give him, the nice finish look?
Yeah, he's more of a pretty boy.
I think it's just an age thing. Are you being ageist?
Maybe. Grandpa. Oh, wait.
You are the only grandpa here.
Damn it.
He does fit in really well on the PK, and just having the speed to go with it. You get a nice breakaway, and his shorty actually came from Koivu.
Right.
So it was a fin to fin, center to center, I guess.
It was a little bit of a risky pass by Koivu. And we've seen passes like that fail time and time again this season, it feels like. But that one connected, and
I think if he wouldn't have waited as long as he did, I think Quick would have made it over in time to block.
It was so far in, Quick had no chance to
Wide open backdoor for Hala.
And so you guys are mentioning Quick there. That's another good point this week, you know. The Wild were in these games. They also went up against two all-star goalies this week, in Quick and the Anaheim guy.
Gibson?
Gibson, there we go. I forgot his name there for a second. But both of those guys
will be.
Way to
go, NBC.
Right.
It's like, you know, it's like NBC with the Wild.
Yeah, Kirk Gibson.
He'd be Jonathan Kick and
Quike,
and John Gibson.
Gibson.
There we go.
John Gibson.
Yeah. We'd be mispronouncing those things, right?
And Darcy Kuemper.
Kuemper.
But, yeah. But, I mean, those are two goalies there that are going to be in there in the All-Star game, since we're mentioning kind of that's coming up anyways, you know. They'll be playing for the Pacific out there, so.
Well,
I think that's worth mentioning.
You know, speaking of Kuemper and goalies, Kuemper started and finished 2 out of 3 of the games this past week.
He's finished now?
Ooh.
By default.
By default.
Yeah.
You know, so he went 1-1 with a shutout.
Kempernan.
How's the goalie situation feeling right now? I mean, we've been seeing a bit more of our backup. You feeling a little bit more confident? Feeling okay?
I think that Yo is definitely feeling pretty confident in that he can put whichever goalie in the net and expect a decent showing from either one. So, and myself personally, I guess, you know, I'm liking our situation right now at goalie.
It's hard to argue with how well things have gone. My only concern is if you look at, you know, the raw numbers for Kemper versus Dubnyk, they're pretty similar. But for me, it just feels like Kemper will have a great, like, mind-blowingly great game and then followed up with just an absolute steamer. And
so good for the relief every four or five games, but not good for the continual back-to-backs.
It always seems like he'll get a shutout and then follow it up with just lay a total egg on that, you know, follow-up game.
And you know, when those games happen, though, I think that from Kemper's standpoint, it's more of like a mental thing. I think it's something that maybe could even be coached out of him. You know, he kind of puts himself out there, puts himself in bad positions.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know exactly how to explain it, but like the game-winning goal last night against that came against the Wild from San Jose, I feel that, you know, Kemper was just basically out of position and maybe not quite paying attention right off of the face-off. Things like that, you see a lot more of the scrambling, you know, from, you know, him sliding himself out of position to one side of the net and diving back to the other side to try to make a save. You see a lot of that, but there's also a lot of, you know, there's a lot of upside to Kemper, and he's, you know,
you think overall he's still young enough, or still too young, maybe just not experienced enough?
I do. I think that, yes, he's definitely would still be considered a young goalie. That's, you know, I don't think that it's something that we need to worry a lot about with him. I mean, I think that it's something that should be coached, and if he's the professional that he's supposed to be, he'll, you know.
I mean, if you look at it, Dubnyk's not that much far ahead of Kemper as far as play. I mean, he didn't really start making a name for himself until this time last year with the Wild.
Yeah, but Dubnyk also had a few starting stints with Edmonton, you know.
Well, that's where goalies go to die.
But he was a starter there for several years and played a majority of the games before getting, you know, shipped out. And so he's got, you know, first goaltender experience, whereas Kemper has always been second fiddle. But, you know, Kemper's or Dubnyk's also, you know, 4 years older than Kemper is. Yeah. So, sure. You know, he's got a little bit of a, you know, by the time Dubnyk was 25, he was only in his second starting season in Edmonton. So he's a little bit ahead of Kemper, and let's be honest. If something happened to Dubnyk, I think we'd probably feel pretty comfortable rolling with Kemper.
I'd feel safe.
But the problem is we don't have a backup. After that. You know, we got Backstrom.
But you want to know what? Most teams don't have that backup either. True. We hope it doesn't come down to that. But as our goaltending situation is today, I am very comfortable with it.
So here's a hypothetical for you. I don't think we're going to see much change as far as positioning in the playoff spots right now until after the All-Star break. But playoffs started today. The Wild will be facing Chicago first round. How do you guys feel about that? How far would they go? Would they be able to hold up to Chicago this year, where it stands?
This year or in this moment? In this moment, I think Chicago is definitely on a hot streak.
Not want to be facing Chicago right now.
No.
With the Wild team that's playing right now.
I don't think any team would want to be facing Chicago
right now. That's fair.
You know, they've been on a tear lately. I think that the Wild, anybody that they play, they're going to give a run for their money this year. I definitely think that we're still a different team than the teams that have been, what was it? Did we lose four in a row to Chicago? Was that last year?
Yeah.
So I definitely think we're a different team than that. And I think that we're maybe built a little bit better to run with them. Depends on if we show up and decide to score a few goals or not. I do see some promising things like our acquisition of Stoll. I mean, he put in a couple goals this week, right?
Right.
So it's nice to see some more scoring coming from some of the bottom lines. And if we can get our first lines in line and putting pucks in the net, I think that, you know, we could be in good shape.
Right.
Well, hey, Aaron, how could we possibly get some of our top lines in shape?
Well, you know, there is a rumor going around that Lou Eriksson, who's down with Boston, formerly with Dallas, he's out on he's on the block, if you will, and Boston's kind of open to trading him. You know, either as a rental, you know, for maybe a pick, or trading him in a pick for something more substantial. I believe it came through on TSN. That Fluto Shinzawa of the Boston Globe had suggested that maybe the Bruins would be looking to get someone like Brodin or Dumba for a first rounder and Louis Eriksson. If you're not familiar with Louis, he's a winger. He's over the last 3 years, he's not a point a game, but 2 points every three games. He's not a physical guy. He's more of a finesse guy.
Lady Bing winner.
Lady Bing winner.
Multiple Lady Bing winner.
yep, multiple Lady Bing. He's
multiple always, ladies.
Selke Award, you know, nominee. So he's a defensive forward on top of that, or can play defensively.
Louis Menajota Eriksson.
So with that, you know, are the Wild? Do we need another finesse winger? You know, the defense part is the part that's a little interesting, I think, because we do value the defensive forwards.
Well, he's currently listed as a left wing.
Right.
And that's not our problem right now. Our problem's on our right side. More so with Pommaville. And, you know, depending on who's matched up. But, I mean...
Yeah, because Nino hasn't been terribly good lately.
No. And, I mean, if we could get him to come in and play right wing as a left-handed shot, which is also kind of a, you know, up in the air with the Wild right now and how Yo is kind of juggling lines, I would say, yeah, it can't be any worse than what some of our other guys are doing right now. But as far as like coming in and trying to take like a top left wing spot, I think it's going to be tough to do. And I mean, I don't think we want to get, you know, somebody like Louis Eriksson in and put him on the, you know, bottom two line, one of the bottom two lines.
I mean, because you're not going to be bumping Parisi, Vanek, or Zucker.
Right.
So, you know, Porter's going to probably lose time if Eriksson's in.
But do you want to, I mean, Zucker maybe not on the fourth line, Vanek to the third, but.
Don't put Vanek on the third line.
This is the issue that we're running into here.
Right.
Don't put Vanek in the corner.
Nobody puts Vanek in the corner.
Well, there's one person who needs to get put in the corner this year, and we all know who he is. We've mentioned his name several times. But as far as, you know, gaining a finesse winger, you know, I don't know that I would necessarily be willing to deal like a Dumba or a Brodin for a rental like that. I think there's definitely a lot of upside with somebody like Dumba. Brodin, I mean, we kind of know what we're going to get. I mean, there's still, you know, time for him to mature in his game and stuff.
But, right.
I think that Dumba is still young enough that, you know, I personally don't want to see that go away. I think that Dumba is learning game by game. I see him making great defensive plays and offensively with his shot. I mean, I don't want to give that away. Right.
Well, and, you know, one for one, you know, even Brodin for Erickson, that's not realistic. You know, they need to throw something in since Erickson's.
Swede for a Swede.
Swede for a Swede. But, you know, if they throw in another first rounder in there, Boston isn't looking that great this year. So we could actually be getting, I don't know if they'd be throwing in their pick. I think they've got an extra pick to trade. But we don't have a lot in our cupboard. So that wouldn't be the worst thing, I don't feel like, if we get another young player through the draft. I think that couldn't hurt us. The only problem is we got a kind of a logjam on left wing, and that'd be my only concern. You know, unless you move in Porter over to right or something like that, you got some juggling to do at that point.
Yeah. And really what I see is if we're going to make a blockbuster trade, it's going to need to be for somebody significant that has proven to put the puck in the net. Other than that, I think what we're dealing with here, and you can see it by Yo juggling and juggling and juggling these lines. I mean, we're midway through the season here. It should be pretty solid at this point, but we're still trying to find that chemistry of, you know, who works well with who.
Well, we had that at the beginning of the year.
Did we?
We were winning at the beginning of the year.
We right. won some games, yeah.
We were also scoring at that point.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, it's not like even the losses that we took, we were still getting goals
right.
those games.
Yeah. So did Yo jump the gun then and start juggling lines, and now we've just got a big mess?
No, we've had some people turn into pumpkins here.
Yeah.
You know, Pumpkinville and
Pominville.
And Vanek hasn't played very well lately, I don't think.
Where has he been though? He's been on this line and that line.
True.
Who have
true.
Been his line partners? I mean, that's
and it, well, there's plenty of blame to go around. Pominville has been very bad. I'm gonna start calling him Pumpkinville because I like that.
All right.
Nino has not been very good lately either.
Agreed.
And Vanek hasn't either. But you know, but the thing is Vanek, he's been paired a lot with Nino. Parisi and Granlund have been paired a lot with Pominville. You know, how much of, you know, Parisi and Granlund not scoring is the fact that they had to skate with Pominville, you know, at this point.
Maybe it's Parisi and Granlund's fault that Pominville
is scoring. So you got, what, 5/6 of the first line? Pominville's out there as a body, half a player?
Yeah, basically, if that. You know, how many times do we see in the last couple games where he's skating around? I know the Wild made a big deal about him skating in the 600th game, and, you know, we joked that, you know, yeah, he's skating, but he's not actually playing, you know? So, I don't know. I don't know that Erickson is the answer. I don't think Drouin would have been the answer.
His locker room antics right now. Yeah, you don't want to that's just a headache you're taking on. It's like buying a car that needs some repair just to sit in the garage and fix it weekly.
Yeah, we're not the Dallas Cowboys. We don't, we can't just bring that type of stuff in here, the disruptive stuff.
Oh, right? Man, that.
Dallas is a famous place for that.
I don't know what just made me think of it, but it reminds me of the old Dallas Cowboys joke of what do you call a drug ring in Texas? Cowboys huddle.
Oh boy,
that little dated. All you young kids out there probably won't get the reference.
Anyone under 30.
Anyone under 30 will. Any millennial out there will not get that reference.
What do you call the Wild's fourth line?
Drug ring.
Drug.
Oh, all right.
Well, speaking of fourth liners.
fourth liners.
Yeah.
Let's go to first liners.
And one fourth liner.
And one fourth liner. That's right. He made it in. Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about the All-Star game. I'm pretty sure everybody knows at this point by now that John Scott will be representing
Arizona.
Officially. And he is the...
Captain,
yes. Another person who's the captain, from criminal to captain, we've got Kane.
From criminal to captain. Well, isn't he the captain of Chicago?
No, Taze is.
He may be the assistant to the captain.
He's but, just an A.
Oh, that's what she said.
I thought it was all about the D. Okay.
All right. But anyways, talking the All-Star game, we've got Dubnyk, who will be representing the Wild there. They're moving to this three-on-three tournament-style format this year. And then also another notable mention that will be at the All-Star game with some Wild ties. I guess, it goes a little way back now, but Brent Burns will be in there.
We were just talking about this during the San Jose game, man. I still miss Brent Burns.
It was actually pretty funny because we had pondered, how people felt about the trade,
Didn't like it from the beginning.
Because right now it's basically Burns for a couple of years of Setoguchi.
Oh, yeah.
Charlie Coyle and Zach Phillips, who's flamed out and he's down with Boston, I think we looked up.
Yeah, that sounds right.
I don't even remember where he's with.
Where's Setoguchi right now?
I think he's in the Swiss leagues right now.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I do like Coyle.
Coyle's good, but he's not Brent Burns.
No.
Not by that. A country mile.
Yeah.
Neither is his beard.
No.
Can yeah. Coyle grow a beard?
I don't remember who it was, but there was some Yahoo. It was Vanek's beard, the novelty account.
No, Jason Zucker's
beard. Yeah. And he was talking smack about Brent Burns' beard, and it's like, what?
It's a beautiful, flowing piece of man beard right there.
I know. I mean, it's like. How could you?
Sounds like Kenny has a man crush.
Just on his beard.
Just on his beard. You want to stroke it?
Everyone loves a Wookiee.
That's what she said.
Everyone loves a Wookiee.
Everyone.
Hockey fans are special.
Yeah. So with that, do you guys have any predictions or anything? Who do you think, what division do you think is going to come out on top here?
Well,
All-Star.
Considering how the All-Star game has normally gone, where it's basically just a shooting gallery on the goalies, I say you park John Scott right in front of the goalie in that division and make him come through him, and I think they'll win. Because nobody's going to be able to take on John Scott in the All-Star game, physically.
So you're saying it should be a brawl?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, brawl in the All-Star game would be awesome, especially bench clearing.
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't know about that. All that.
It's a tough theory, but.
It's 3-on-3. It's man-to-man. No one's going to be parking in front of anyone because otherwise you're going to be more exposed than you normally would be. And in the All-Star game, you're going to look kind of foolish.
So that begs the question then is how much time is Scott actually going to get on the ice?
I think you'll be surprised. As the captain, he's probably going to take
He's got to lead his All-Stars.
He's going to take this leadership role, and he's going to, stick it up your yay. And he's going to show you what's what. Just watch. You open up the ice for this guy and look.
So if I'm going to pick who I think would come out on top, my gut would normally say Central. But I think the way the team's constructed, I think because the All-Star game is in Nashville, there's way too many Nashville players on this team.
Yes.
And Taves, I think, was thrown in as well. And his numbers are, all right. They're not bad, but, you know, there's other players out there that they could have picked that would have been better selections than Taves. And so I don't think the Central is actually as good as they could be. And so that's why I don't think the Central is actually going to win.
My
thought is going to be someone from the East, because you got eight teams going into those divisions. So you got technically more players to choose from. So in theory, those teams should be better. That's my theory, at least.
You know, my honest, like, real answer, not the whole John Scott, Aaron, I would totally agree, is I don't see anybody from the West actually winning the All-Star game. Not that it's going to matter much, but right. I do think it's going to be an East team this year. Maybe a Metro.
What are you thinking, Jeff?
And yeah, I do really like the Central team, similarly to what you guys have said here. But overall, I think that, the Metro division, I mean, I think that they've got probably the best pool of talent to draw from there. So I think that actually the Metro
I mean, really, you got to really you have to look at snipers versus goalies, especially with this 3-on-3 format.
That's the thing; it's going to be wide open, right?
You know, maybe a little bit of speed in there,
yeah.
But essentially, it's going to come down to who's got the most snipers compared to who's got the weakest goalies.
Yeah, I mean, basically, you get open and you're going to get some shots on the net.
So that. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, any wagers on how many shots on goals happen in these 20-minute games?
700.
700.
Goalies are going to be shooting for goals.
That brings me into actually my next question that I wanted to ask you guys. So do you think Dubnyk's going to go into the All-Star game here and put on a big show, or is he going to be overcome by all the All-Star offense in this 3-on-3 action? I mean, it could be crazy, like you say. How many shots are we going to see? What do you think, Dubnyk?
He's just going to be mitigating damage. That's
my,
all.
My honest
that's
opinion,
all he's going to be doing.
You couldn't have picked the worst goalie for a 3-on-3 tournament. I mean, look at his record with the Wild right now.
Oh,
I mean, that's kind of harsh, but
can't say it's not true.
You speak the truth.
Yeah.
So you guys don't think that Dubnyk will fare very well there?
I think he's going to have fun, and I think he's going to ham it up.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got the type of personality that, I mean, I think he's going to have fun with it. I think every goalie going into an All-Star game, I mean, even pre-3-on-3,
yeah,
they're not going to get a shutout. They know they're going to get lit up. They right. know it's gonna. There's going to be no D in front of them whatsoever.
Yeah.
They're going to get lit up, and they're expecting that. It's like, you know what, go in, put on a smile, you know, put on a good show and mm-hmm. just have fun with it. And I think Dubnyk actually will fit really well with that type of scenario.
It'd be nice to see. So the other question that I had was, you know, has everybody forgotten about everything that happened, you know, in the off season with Patrick Kane and stuff? I mean,
not the chick in Buffalo.
Well, she might have, you know.
Depends on how many roofies he gave her.
She might have forgot about it the next day.
Yeah. Either how many roofies or if, you know, he paid her enough, you know. Then she just becomes a prostitute, right?
You know, well.
That escalated quickly.
that does bring up actually a good point, though, Jive, is the NHL is now mandating every team go through a
domestic
violence course.
Oh yeah, thanks AP.
Well, this is the NHL,
right?
There's Varlamov.
Oh, Varlamov, there, yeah.
But I'm guessing it also kind of leads
Voinov
into.
Voinov did it too, didn't he?
I thought it was Voinov.
Well, Varlamov also had like domestic violence thing. Maybe they just need to put all the Russians into this training.
So how long before? It comes to all of our
in Russia.
How long before it comes to all of our companies and we're required to take domestic violence?
I don't know. Why don't you stop beating your wife, Jive?
Hey, I told her.
In Savanich household, man does not beat wife. Yeah. Wife beats man.
What do you call a woman with two black eyes? She didn't listen the first time.
Well, I didn't want to go there, but...
Oh, boy. This could go down a very, very, very bad hole very fast.
She doesn't love... She doesn't love me anyway, so she won't be listening to this. So. Never mind her two black eyes.
She's got two black guys?
Eyes.
I thought she only had half a black guy.
What she really likes is five guys. The burgers. That's what she said.
Okay, I think we're
done. They're great burgers.
She likes the meat.
Yes. Wow, this went the wrong direction.
Let's see what our listeners have to say, huh?
The Fontaine has come off the rails.
See, so for the kids, you got the one direction, and for you adults that are with us, we got the wrong direction. Let's move on to Twitter talk.
A long wait, question from Blue.
So, our first question comes from Teresa Ferries at MN Sota, S-O-T-A, 24. This is actually a great question. I hope you guys have been thinking about this, because I know I have. If the Wild were a childhood game, what would they be? Hashtag shoots and ladders.
I know, when I'm talking this season's Wild team, my choice, Boggle.
Boggle.
Just because it boggles your mind?
I've got a backup one, too, but I'll let everyone else say theirs, but I'm going with Boggle.
Explain Boggle.
I think the name says enough, does it not? Has the season not been boggling?
Okay.
It's a jumble.
Mind-boggling.
It's a jumble. It makes no sense. We're up, we're down, we're left, we're right.
But yet sometimes you can find some sense in there. You right. find some words. You
connect,
in there.
Connect some dots and things work out.
Yeah.
But other times it's like, what am I going to do with three Qs, you know?
That's a good analogy. My pick actually is going to be Sorry.
That was my backup.
Because, you know, I mean, here we have the Wild, and I mean, we started off the season super, super strong, and we're going, and all of a sudden it's like, Sorry, and somebody's sending us back to home. Next thing we know, we got Colorado ahead of us.
And we're at home, and we still lose. Oh. What the hell?
So, Jive, on a very similar notion, I mean, I had a similar philosophy, like, you know, you think you're doing good, and all of a sudden you get ahead of yourself, and you're sent back to the beginning. Kind of my thoughts on this, and this is a game that we would have all had as kids, but kids can't get anymore. Lawn darts.
Jarts.
Lawn darts?
Yeah.
Jarts?
Yeah.
Was that the official name, or is that just what you called them?
I think it was a brand name, was Jarts. Maybe.
So my thoughts are, you know, the beginning of the season comes, you're sitting there and you're throwing the dart, right? And all of a sudden we start getting ahead of ourselves, like, oh man, this team's great, and all of a sudden you get in front of the dart and you get stabbed in the back. That's my theory with
Another notable mention might be Candyland. You know, like when you get almost all the way up there to the top, and then you pick the, I can't remember what card it is, but you get sent all the way back.
Very similar to Chutes and Ladders.
Yes.
And that's how I felt about Hala. You know, he climbs his way up, and he climbs four flights, and all of a sudden he just hits the one wrong chute, and he hits right
the
back
slide.
In the doghouse again. Yeah. So
okay, well, that was actually a really great question. Next question is from Felskin. That's at Derek Felskin. That's at State of Hooky News. X-Files returns after a long hiatus. What is Wild's biggest X-File? The play of Granlin, Vanek's disappearing act, or something else? Is the truth out there?
I want to know what happened to Palmerville's game.
Yeah, I think that, is that not the biggest X-File?
I think so.
Well, I know, honestly, you could make the same argument for Nino, or Fontaine.
Well, Nino, I have an explanation.
What's that?
This year is an El Nino, so that's where the problem is coming in.
He's only good. There can only be one El Nino?
Yes.
At a time?
Yes.
Okay, I'll buy that. I'll buy that.
It works for me.
All right. Next question coming in from Felska as well. With the All-Star break coming up, do you guys expect that the Wild will return from the break in maybe more refocused, or do you think they'll just be lethargic and slow?
Here's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that the poor play can be explained with some nagging injuries, and that this little span here is a chance for everyone to get healthy, and they come back and they're playing well because they're healthy. That's my hope. I don't have any proof that there's any nagging injuries. I mean, there probably is because, you know, these guys beat the hell out of each other, but I'm hoping that that's going to be the solution.
Yeah, I think they're going to at least regroup a little bit, and hopefully, you know, Yo can get his lines figured out, some time off without pressure of another game, so the coaching staff can maybe sit down and work a few things out amongst themselves with how they want lines juggled, or, you know, what they can do. So hopefully it's good all around.
All right.
So next, from Beth Jackman Pollock, at
Joaquin.
Joaquin.
Okay, sorry.
At Beth J. Pollock. Assuming puck possession is an important key in the next games, who do you think has been best line of season through neutral and offensive zones to go?
From the neutral zones to the goal.
Yeah, I'm guessing that's what it...
Damn 140 character limit.
Yeah, it's sorry, the Twitter limitation.
Oh, what? Just you wait till that 10,000 character limit comes
along. Great, we're going to be getting essays.
Right. And this week's essay question.
So.
This next question from Derek Felska will take up the rest of the hour.
We'll have to start doing a Tuesday episode for him.
Best line. That is really best line through the neutral zone and into the offensive zone.
I'm guessing that's the N and O.
Yeah.
Is neutral and offensive zone.
Yes.
I got a. That's a really tough one.
I honestly can't say that there is a standout line.
Right. I mean,
with that, they've all had their issues with turnovers in the neutral zone, and
I think
even poor passes, you know, that lead to breaks the other way.
It's like I think of certain players that have stood out, and you know, Coyle's been very strong through the neutral zone, and getting to the offensive zone, making plays happen on his own. Koivu has also been super solid there.
Koivu has definitely actually this year been a good surprise. I mean, coming from last year, I know last year we were ragging pretty hard on him, you know,
right,
just because he wasn't producing or anything. This year, you know, we've seen some offensive production from him, and we've also seen some, you know, great play, like you're saying, you know, through the neutral zone and those, you know, the other areas of the ice.
I mean, the only other one I would even consider, and I'm sure those people disagree, it would be Granlund, because he's often, you know, outside of Suter, he's one of the few guys that leads it through the neutral zone.
I've seen
Scandella actually come through a few times.
I would say Granlund's one of the few forwards that do
right.
that.
Right,
right.
And Granlund's also... He's willing to dig in the corners a little bit more. I think he kind of follows suit behind Parisi there in trying to dig for the puck and get... He doesn't necessarily go as much to the dirty areas, but he's definitely willing to get in there and grind for the puck and right. feed Parisi.
Right, and, you know, he does make some bad passes here and there, but I think for the most part he's pretty solid in there. It'd be great if he could, you know, have a good shot at the end of that, you know, and rather than just hitting right at the chest of the goaltender, he could get something that would maybe rebound to Parisi. But I think he's actually probably one of the stronger ones through the neutral zone.
Yeah.
Okay, next question is from DM2, and that's at Fans for Hockey. What he says is, full disclosure, not liking Yo. Question, your thoughts, still the right guy? Does he get this prepared week in and week out? I'm guessing he's thinking that he doesn't get prepared week in and week out.
That's, yeah.
You know, we've talked about Yo. How do we feel about Yo? Is he the problem with this team right now?
I don't know that he's the problem, but I don't know that he is the solution. We discussed this a little bit earlier in the episode here today. He's still constantly juggling these lines, and that shows to me that he is maybe not so confident in the decisions that he has made previously, or he doesn't have a good pulse on the chemistry that he's got with the team, you know, in order to form those lines together to perform to their best.
Right. It's one thing if you're doing the juggling because there's an injury or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But oftentimes he'll be juggling, you know, because he's now, someone made a mistake and he's like, that person's now in my doghouse. I'm giving him 7 minutes the rest of the night for the whole night.
Right.
And now all the lines are in flux because of this.
Which, how does Palmerville keep getting all this time then?
Veteran.
They must be buddy-buddy.
No, I think Aaron nailed it last week. I mean, if you're in the league for under so many years, that's how it goes. And if it's over so many years, it's a veteran mistake. You know, it's just a mistake. And
right.
He's a veteran. He can shake it off.
Right. But right now, Pominville is mired in a terrible, terrible streak here of just ineffective play. at what point does Yo go, okay, we need to start benching people that aren't producing? And, you know, yeah, you know, Pominville's making 5 3/4, but so what?
He doesn't matter,
you know.
Yeah, pretty soon Yo's going to be making no and no quarters because he's going to let that be the death of him.
Yo might be the head of the pack right there, but he's also got his other coaching staff, you know, that you need to look at. Power play for one, with Burnett.
Yeah, special teams. I mean, special teams has not been there this year on the power play.
No.
I mean, our penalty kill has been working, I'd say, satisfactory. But yeah, if we're not scoring on the power play, you got to be able to count on, you know, a goal a game from your power play unit, or you're not going to succeed.
Just to double back on Pominville, he has 1 point in January. 1 point, a single assist.
How many games?
12 games. That is unacceptable.
From a top liner.
I mean, even October, which was still really bad, he had 5 points in 11 games. He's at 1 point in 12 games.
Wow.
That is unbelievably
bad.
That's
unacceptable for a number one.
Maybe we need to start a petition. Bench Pominville.
Let's start.
Or just move him down to the fourth line.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to go to change.org, and we're going to get a... we'll let Obama fix this.
I got an Obama phone and an Obama hockey team.
Oh, boy.
So, next question, though, from Fans for Hockey. Based on the sound bits, you know, we kind of need to figure it out. Does this team believe in themselves to be an actual playoff contender?
Yeah, I think every team has to at least have that thought in their head. Like, we need to play like we're playing for the playoffs every mm-hmm. game. Any team that doesn't, I mean, you have to either be Buffalo or Edmonton. But I think in general, every team, at least, you know, for the next month or two, I think there's still a shot for just about every team to still possibly at least make wild card.
I think a big problem right now is obviously the losing streak. That 5-game losing streak didn't help things.
With two shutouts in there on top of it.
But you have that, you know, kind of killing morale a little bit. You've got a lot of young guys being bandied about in trade rumors, which that's not going to help, you know, morale at all.
Nope.
And the fact that Yo is unbelievably critical of young players and lets veterans, you know, go unchecked means that you're going to have a lot. And we got a lot of young guys on this team. That means a lot of your team is going to be having some morale issues because mainly because of the way you run your team. You know, the losses, you can't mitigate that. But, you know, the trade rumors and, you know, how you're skating your team, you do have control over that. And that goes on Yo at that point.
You know, you say trade rumors and the image from Major League pops into my head where they're all opening their lockers to see if they have a red tag. During spring training.
Right, whether they're cut or not.
And yeah, I mean, that's got to do a number, like, just mentally on a player going, mm-hmm. you know, all these rumors are going around. Oh, this guy is, you know, Erickson up on the chopping block, and, you know, could one of us possibly go for him?
Right.
And you know, Druin's situation last week.
Yeah.
I hear what you guys are saying, but that's all part of business. That is NHL too.
True.
But really, the sound bits that we're talking about here, the we need to's and the figure it out, I think that, you know, that's what any team that's spiraling is going to be, you know, saying in their press conferences or press releases. And
I mean, if you want to put a positive spin on it, they're not saying they need to or they're not calling anyone out. Right. You know, so
there are some coaches that will do that.
Right. Well, so you at least know there's no division, at least obvious division within the locker room, because that's, you know, speaks to a bigger locker room issue.
Yeah.
You know.
And, I mean, just what I really would like to say, though, is that I don't see the Wild quitting. It's not like they're being blown out of the water. Most games, they're like this far, you know, a puck bouncing this way so or close. A puck bouncing that way, right. to being the winner or to at least pulling out like a point into OT. And
you can't win them all. So no. As long as you're competitive,
right.
Things should go your way, right?
Yeah, nobody's going to be coming out with 164 points in a season.
No.
So, yeah, I do think that they believe in themselves to be a playoff contender. So.
All right, should we...
Upcoming week?
Game?
Game of the week.
So,
the upcoming week and the game of the week.
We have one. We've got the Yotes here tomorrow night.
Ooh.
So, who are you going to pick for the game of the week, Kenny?
I am going to take...
The All-Star game.
The All-Star game. I think I'm going to take the Central versus the Pacific.
Okay. It might actually be a better game.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So Yotes at Wild.
the great thing about this game is there's one All-Star combined between the two teams that will be there.
This is true.
Since John Scott is no longer with the Coyotes. So.
This is very true. You know, the sad part about this, though, is the Yotes have less points in the Wild right now, but are sitting in a better playoff position.
Because of that weak Pacific there.
Yeah. Thank you, realignment. That worked out great.
So who are you picking in this game of the week?
I'm going with the Wild. They're home last game before All-Star break. I'm going to go with the Wild winning. Oh, man. I'm actually going to give them credit. I think they're going to rally. I'm going to go 4-1.
All right. Jive, what are you thinking?
Me, I'm really thinking that the Wild are going to win this one, too. It's almost kind of a must-win for them.
Get some positive momentum going into the All-Star break.
Things got to turn around here at some point. And this would definitely be, I think, a great team to do that against. I think the Wild will win it 4-2. Empty netter at the end. I don't know that they're going to, you know, make any head spin by how well they play or anything, but I think they'll do enough to squeak out a victory there.
And I'm kind of agreeing. I'm going with the Wild winning 3-1. Again, you know, a garbage goal at the end, you know, empty netter. I think it'll be a close game because the Wild haven't been playing so great that I don't think they're going to run away with it.
Nope.
Real
quick, so Dubes going to the All-Star game? Are there going to be enough Minnesota fans down there to chant Dubes when he makes a save?
Well, Suter won't be there for them to boo, so I would think so, maybe.
That might be worth watching just him play, just to see.
See if we get any Dubes in there. Well, I think we've got a show here. You know, when I'm not live tweeting Wild games for 3 in the Box, and again, that's at 3 in the Box on Twitter, you can find links to everything I'm doing at about.me/TheAaron. Kenny, where can people find you?
You can find me at about.me/IamKenny, K-E-N-N-E-Y, with links to all my Instagram and Twitter stuff and that stuff.
The social stuffs.
And apparently, yeah, you know, and if you're, you know, trying to sell me naked pictures, you know, that seems to be going to Twitter, Instagram, both. Huh.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow, you've been hacked.
No.
You've been spammed.
Spammed, definitely.
Spank, spam, it's all the same.
Both.
Jive, where can people find you?
Yeah, you can check me out. I'm on about.me/HeyJive. Have a good night, folks.
Bye-bye.